Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As the American media landscape continues to shift, South Dakota Newswatch celebrates its two-year anniversary. The online news organization entered the market as public service journalism, financially supported by donations from readers. Today, we welcome co-chairs of the South Dakota Newswatch Board of Directors, Randall Beck and Jack Marsh. Randall Beck is a retired editor and publisher of Argus Leader Media in Sioux Falls. He previously held editing and reporting roles at newspapers in Delaware, California, Missouri, and Tennessee, and he joins me in the Kirby Family Studio here in Sioux Falls. Randall Beck, welcome back. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us on the phone, Jack Marsh. He's a former media and foundation executive. He's worked as an editor, publisher, and reporter at seven newspapers in four states before becoming president, chief, and chief operating officer of the Freedom Forum Diversity Institute and the Al Newhart Media Center at the University of South Dakota. He retired in 2014, and he joins us on the phone. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you, Lori. It's always good to be on your show.
2 years of South Dakota Newswatch, and Randall, let's start with you. As you have been, you know, as you were working on launching South Dakota Newswatch, which took some time, and over the past 2 years, as you continue to communicate with people about what it is, what its potential is, and what you need, tell me about some of those conversations. What are you hearing from people across the state?
Yeah, and thanks for that question. We're actually entering. So we're beginning our second year. So literally we just wrapped up what we sort of referred to as our pilot year. And I think our hypothesis at the beginning was that in this day and age, in this time in which both news media in many ways is sort of under assault economically, and when the nation is divided, that this was the best time that we could launch an organization, a nonprofit organization devoted to in-depth journalism, exclusively in-depth journalism that tackles really complex issues that we care about as a state. That was our hypothesis. I would say that a year plus in, everything has affirmed and confirmed that hypothesis. We have been overwhelmed, I think, with how just normal people, as well as folks you know, Lori, have embraced the concept of South Dakota Newswatch, how people are hungry at every level. You see it here, are hungry for sophisticated news content, journalism that doesn't take a side, doesn't reflect a worldview, but simply dives deep into a topic to educate the reader so that that reader can make up his or her own mind. And there's a critical need for it for reasons you know, and I think Jack would have his own thoughts on this as well, but we are so affirmed at how people have embraced and hungry for this, and every day we get emails and calls from people saying, thank you for doing it right now.
Yeah. Jack, tell us from your perspective about some of those conversations. Are you seeing that hunger as well?
Lori, it's been a very rewarding year. Randall and I, along with our staff and our board, we knew that we had to get the journalism right, that if we didn't get the journalism right, this whole initiative would fail. And so in that regard, I think we had a great success in our pilot year. Randall and I were meeting with one of our generous supporters just the other day, and he said to us, South Dakota Newswatch does not fill a niche. It fills a void. And that void is in-depth, sophisticated coverage of significant statewide issues. You know, there are other, we have other fine journalists, including those with SDPB, who are doing an excellent job covering news in our state. But what we offer is a real in-depth look at serious topics. And, we've added it up. We've published about 65 in-depth stories in the past year on about 50 separate topics. And what's particularly encouraging is that in the current session of the state legislature, there are about a dozen bills or proposals in front of the legislature dealing with these topics that we were able to uncover at South Dakota Newswatch in the past year, a dozen.
I would say
that's quite rewarding.
It is. I would say too that it's not just readers who have embraced this. It's our media partners, from newspapers to broadcast outlets. They have been enthusiastic in saying, "Thank you for delivering this information, this news that we can't ourselves. We don't have the horses to do. We don't have the sizable newsrooms they once had." And so this for them fills a void, and they are just really in many ways stumbling all over themselves to show their readers this great content that they're getting. So
let's expand on that a little bit, if you will, because even if it wasn't the nature of South Dakota journalism is probably less competitive and more collaborative than people think.
Yeah.
In the first place, good journalists celebrate good journalism.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jack, have you found that as well, that there's a collaboration in a sense? I think the piece that Bart Fancook is going to join us to talk about next is on the cover of today's Argus Leader. I didn't get to look at the article itself, but the headline implied it was the same topic, and I'm wondering, so how does the collaboration work, Jack?
Well, there are about 150 of these nonprofit journalism organizations around the country. And what distinguishes South Dakota Newswatch from all the others is that we do work in collaboration with our media partners. They use our stories on the air, online, and in print. And when Randall and I first went around the state talking to news industry leaders, we asked them to put their competitive instincts aside and join us in trying to produce high-quality, in-depth journalism, and they have absolutely embraced it. I don't think we have sensed at all that our media partners feel they're in competition with one another. I think we have come together as a profession, as an industry, to in support of news and information that equips our citizens to be more engaged and better informed in South Dakota.
In some ways, this feels like very forward-thinking, like moving forward, what's the future of journalism? Mm. In some ways, it feels like this is the old-school model
of what
those of us who went to college and studied journalism recognize immediately as this is what we do. Mm-hmm. Do you get that sense, Mr. Beck, of this balance of pushing forward, but with the best of what the tradition holds?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think those of us who are journalists, who really treasured that career, continue to see how the journalism, as Jack said, is the thing. It's, you know, sort of strip it all away. And in this day and age, it continues to be so vital to how our democracy works or doesn't work. I mean, we see all the stuff on the national stage about fake news and demonizing the media. To me, that just confirms the fact of how critical the free press is in and how our democracy works. I think in many ways that trustworthy journalism, that content that you can believe in and use to sort of form opinions, is more important than it's ever been. Yeah, the sort of the delivery method is changing, and it's no longer driven by print as much as it once was, but it's the text, it's the words, it's the ideas, it's that idea that journalism penetrates our bubble and really helps us think about our communities, our state, in a more sophisticated way. It helps us wrestle with the most complex of ideas, and that has never changed. I think it's also easy to sometimes fall in the trap of thinking that younger people abandoned journalism. I think actually that's just not true at all, and I think at any age group you look at, there is a need, a desire for sophisticated content, and we're seeing that confirmed again and again. And I think, as you were talking about the sort of the national stage, it made me think about ProPublica, which nationally is probably the best known 501c3. It was one of the earliest ones, and is the most successful. They have, I think, it's 4 Pulitzers, Jack, that they've been awarded. Their content is as good as it gets. And the front line for ProPublica, as well as South Dakota Newswatch, is partnering with newspapers around the country, the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune. They are in the partnership business, and I think We in nonprofit news need to be in the partnership business. It's not us versus them, it's us.
Did you, in your career, Randall, see the pressure to shorten things, to make things more concise, deal with a shrinking attention span,
sure, yeah,
deal with demographic changes, deal with the onslaught of video and some of the promises that were made that turned out to be based on,
yeah,
on some fabrications outright, as we are seeing reports. And my point is, and the heart of the question is the sense that when you do an investigative piece like SD Newswatch does, mm-hmm, it's going to take some column inches.
It does, absolutely. And Jack and I both know that the more you condense the time in which you deliver a story, the less it will really reflect reality or something that you can really trust and understand. And so there is that effect, I think, nationally, as we see people engaged in social media and the fast, rapid delivery of information. There is that sort of that wave always pushing against long-form, thoughtful journalism. But we believe, we have seen it here, there is a role for that today. So while the world is not slowing down for South Dakota News Watch, we think we have found a niche, a way to deliver that information in a time in which there's a critical need. And I would say too, Lori, we're doubling our news staff. We're adding a journalist who can not just report in-depth news accurately and fairly, but also use the social media tools at our disposal, can be on the air with our broadcast partners. So we're acknowledging how our world is changing as well and recognizing that we need to be in that space.
Who's coming on board for year two?
Well, we have posted the job. We're literally looking for what we call a multimedia journalist, someone who can work with Bart, our really terrific investigative reporter, and do the kinds of stories he's doing, tackling those in-depth topics, but again, in ways that acknowledging that we digest and consume information in different ways than some of us old war horses. And so we need to be in that space for us to be viable for the future. We need to have that kind of position, and Jack and I are really focused on not just making South Dakota News Watch work today and next week, but for the long-term future of this state. We believe it's really important.
Jack, Randall mentioned this national dialogue and the need and the void that needs to be filled, but it's also, I think, important to talk about this sense of the reputation of journalism itself and sort of how it can be under attack, and there seems to be often more questions about journalism or about individual journalists than by individual journalists. I think it's Poynter Institute is launching an ethics initiative, an ethics institute. Talk a little bit about that, Jack, if you will, and the sense of really the importance for the profession to have to get the journalism right.
I think we as an industry have contributed to the confusion. I think we have a national problem with media illiteracy. That is, I think the public is very confused as to what they should believe and not believe. What is reliable and not reliable, and then this entire gray area about when is it commentary, when is it opinion, when is it editorials, and when is it straight up objective news reporting? And that's one of the ways in which South Dakota News Watch sets a very high bar. We have no commentary, no opinions, no editorials. It is just an in-depth look at issues of statewide significance. So we are out to prove ourselves to the people of South Dakota that we are trustworthy, credible, reliable. And one reflection of that I think it's one of our great successes this past year is the number of individuals, as well as community foundations and media partners in the state who have contributed to us. We have no advertising, no sponsorships. It's all voluntary donations, and we have over 160 individual contributors to our current operating budget, and that's quite remarkable. Randall and I hoped early on that we would have broad-based support. We are pleasantly surprised that it has come this soon on our first year anniversary that we have this kind of grassroots support from West River to East River, from every corner of our state. It is just so rewarding and fulfilling for Randall and I and for our entire board.
Randall, talk a little bit about this notion, if you will, of objectivity and not having a worldview or not doing editorial, and at the same time, you referenced ProPublica's Pulitzers. Well, they're certainly not getting those for being banal either. So there's a courageousness that comes. Sometimes people confuse the notion of objectivity with sort of sitting back and not digging into and holding people accountable, for injustice, for integrity violations. Talk a little bit about journalism and courage.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I think that in many ways has always been in high demand and in short supply. as long as I can think about my career, 35 to 40 years ago, in the early days of my reporting career, it was hard to find in-depth journalism that really made a difference, that was thoughtful, that didn't take a side, that played right down the middle and exhausted all of the sources to deliver information with authority. I used to emphasize to my colleagues as an editor and as a reporter this idea of reporting with authority. Doesn't mean reporting with a view in mind, with an end goal in mind, but rather with confidence, reporting the story so that when you write that piece, you are delivering to that citizen, that reader, the most comprehensive view of that topic, whether it's education or transportation, environment, that is humanly possible. Does that mean there's you're always playing with fire, you're always sort of risking the perception that this lists to one side or the other? That's why loading up a story with sources, with continuing to layer on meaning and nuance, and capturing all the sides of an argument, not just two, not just talking to the Republicans and the Democrats. That's right. That's sort of gotcha easy stuff, and that's what most, I think, news outlets these days are delivering, but rather the thoughtful kind of journalism that explores the 360 view of that topic. That's what's always been in short supply, and that's what we're really trying to do every week at South Dakota News Watch.
This is maybe a hard question with 50 separate topics over the past year alone, but Jack Marsh, what stands out to you as a piece that was featured in South Dakota News Watch in its pilot year that you still can't shake, that really made a difference? Just pick one, please.
I think we're all proud South Dakotans, and we think of this as such a beautiful state, and we just treasure all of our natural resources. Bart Fancook did a major project on the conditions of our rivers and streams in South Dakota. Over 80% of our waterways have a major deficiency. That we are really the first ones to delve into that, and I think that package of stories certainly sticks out for me, and I think it's going to be something that we are going to have to address as a state. The other story, and I'll just mention one more, is what is going on with the nursing home crisis in South Dakota. Yes, there had been some reporting on nursing homes in specific communities that were in financial trouble or closing, but it was South Dakota News Watch that really tied all that together and was able to show that this is a statewide problem now with nursing homes, particularly in rural communities. And as a result, it's got the attention of the governor. It's got the attention of the state legislature, and that is one of the major issues being tackled in this state legislative session. So those are the two that stick out for me, Lori. It's the rivers package that we put out last year, and then the really very sophisticated job that Bart Fancook did in looking at the financial conditions of our nursing homes around the state.
Randall, what stands out to you in year one?
I think I would say that. I think what has made me proudest is the fact that not just those individual stories, but the fact that literally every month we're trying very carefully to track how our stories are being used. And throughout the fall, we had on average every month 50 newspapers across the state use our stories. That's a remarkable record. I think, is the single proudest aspect of South Dakota News Watch, is that our fellow journalists, the publishers and editors, the news directors of this state have seized on this and recognized that in this time they have to give their readers in-depth news coverage that makes a difference, and they're working right in lockstep with us, and that's just such a heartening reminder that we're doing the right thing.